You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
A new environmental organization in BC has sprung up in Victoria to work actively to defend old-growth forests. Calling themselves the Ancient Forest Alliance, they're not going to be eligible for charitable status and will act as a political organization. Ken Wu was campaign director of the Victoria Office of the Western Canada Wilderness Committee for the last 10 years, and he's now part of this new organization. Ken joins me this morning. Hello, Ken.
Hi, Lorraine.
Right off, this jumped out at me from your publicity on the new organization. You want to, quotes, retain the right to support or criticize all levels of government, federal, provincial, regional, municipal, First Nations, based on their environmental policies in regard to ancient forests and forestry jobs. Why did you need a new environmental organization to do that?
Well, there's two reasons we set up the Ancient Forest Alliance. One of them is because the Victoria Western Canada Wilderness Committee's old-growth campaign was going to be eliminated, or certainly these days it'll be downsized, so there was a void in Victoria for the Ancient Forest campaign, which is a major initiative. There's thousands of people involved there, so we wanted to ensure that the grassroots organizing continued on a big scale. And secondly, we wanted a non-profit organization that didn't have charitable status so that we could be more effective in leveling criticisms on against the politicians, and also supporting the right ones who were taking a stance in favor of saving old growth. Charitable status restricts your abilities to do that, and you know, this is sort of a problem that I've run into again and again, and I don't want to deal with that again. We can be a lot more effective without charitable status.
Now, what then precipitated the formation of this new organization? Was it entirely based on the closing down of the Victoria office of WC Squared?
Well, they're not going to close down the office. They're going to close down the store and the website, and they've gotten rid of the forest campaigner positions. There were three of them. They will be hiring a marine campaigner who will also be augmenting the old growth campaign, which will be run out of Vancouver. So the organization will continue, and there'll be an outreach person too, but it will be not on the scale that it was, certainly around old growth in Victoria. And this is one of the few organizations that can, in Victoria, that we could turn out thousands of people on the streets to rally to save old growth forests. 3,000 people at a rally a year ago, and tens of thousands of people very quickly sign up with us to petition, write letters, put pressure on government. So I don't want to let the corporations or the government get off, especially as we're making tremendous strides forward in building the movement that will force, within a couple of years' time, government to say uncle around the old growth issue. So this is an issue that people care about greatly on Vancouver Island, and Vancouver itself, you know, that sort of movement needs to get built, a big-scale grassroots movement too, so we'll be doing that too.
Ken, what kind of work do you envision the new organization doing around old growth?
Well, there's several things that the organization will do. One of the things is that we have a professional photographer, T.J. Watt, whose photographs have appeared in on the Vancouver Sun and the Times Colonist and many other publications, and he's a great explorer. So he's going to be going to different endangered old-growth forests and continuing to take photos of the biggest trees and the biggest stumps in the areas where they've just been destroyed. So we'll be able to explore and document endangered old-growth forests. And we'll do the grassroots organizing. So that's organizing lots of big rallies and demonstrations, lots of slideshows and presentations, hiking trips, camping trips, as well as working to do outreach to allies and new potential allies, whether it's with businesses, unions, faith groups, scientists, a wide diversity of people.
I think when people come to BC, one of the things that they're, there are a lot of great kind of natural things here, but I think one of the things that really blows the mind of people, particularly people from places like Europe, are these amazing trees that they're just overwhelmingly beautiful, these big old trees.
Well, that's one of the things, is that when you think about it, there's so few jurisdictions on the planet that have trees as wide as your living room and as tall as a skyscraper. How many places, have trees that are literally like over 20 feet, like 6 to 7 meters in diameter, and can live to be almost 2,000 years old? And so British Columbia is very lucky that we still have To begin with, that we actually had temperate rainforests that had trees like this, and that today we still have some of this, because other jurisdictions like, say, Denmark and parts of Sweden, Japan, they had temperate rainforests at one time, but pretty much all of the giant trees are gone. We still have on Vancouver Island about just over 20% of the old growth, Lower Mainland, about 20% of the old growth as well, and other parts of the province, the varying amounts, like maybe 5 or 6% in the Okanagan, maybe about 10% in the West Kootenays. But at this point, it's possible to log second growth forests more carefully, slowly, sustainably. That's the majority of the land base now is second growth in the southern part of the province, and save what remains of the old growth. And, I think most people realize that that's a win-win solution, where we can save what remains of old growth, continue the forest industry based on slow, careful second growth logging with more value-added manufacturing, so we create more jobs for what we cut, instead of taking down these thousand-year-old giants, which is insane if you think about what's going on in the rest of the world. They're already based on second, third, fourth growth instead of taking their, thousand-year-old giants, if they still exist.
Now, over the years, there have been some big struggles with a lot of people involved to successfully protect some of the old growths, the really big old growth. Like, I'm thinking of places like Carmana and the Walbran, Mears Island. What are the threats now to old growth that your organization is focused on?
Well, they're the same threats that have existed for the last 100 years, and that's basically industrial logging, and it's still basically clear cutting as well. The companies will try to say, no, we're doing variable retention harvesting, where they retain varying amounts of trees. All they are clear cuts with little patches of trees sticking up, typically from 10% to 20% of the trees in little patches, but the other 80-90% is clear cut, right? So and it's not even a logging method issue at this point in time when it comes to the old growth in southern British Columbia, where the old growth is so scarce. Whether they do clear-cut logging or even if they did selection logging, point is there's too little old growth left now for any sort of major industry to be built around old growth in terms of environmental values, in terms of the importance of them for climate, for tourism, for many First Nations cultures. A lot of species need old growth forests. They can't live in younger forests and tree plantations. The spotted owl in the Lower Mainland, the marbled murrelet on Vancouver Island, whole host of species are either old growth obligates, they need old growth, or they're old growth associated in the sense that they'll have much higher population densities in old growth than in second growth.
Now, your new website outlines three values that are core to your organization. What are they?
Several values, but one of them is that the intrinsic right of all species to exist. So one of the key things that I want to promote now is that when we're moving to make a better world, it's fundamentally about caring about things beyond ourselves. That includes humanity, but it needs to include other species, not just because they might be useful for tourism or for potential some species medicinal value for people, or because they're pretty to look at, but because a cougar hanging on the rock bluffs around Victoria's forest, or a grizzly bear snuffling along a salmon-bearing river in the on the mainland coast, has as much intrinsic right to its own live for its own sake as a person does. So it's the intrinsic value of all species to exist and flourish for their own sake. We also believe that it's important that we recognize and we support First Nations rights and title. The First Nations people, they evolved and lived in the old growth forests here for thousands of years. Their cultures evolved here, and this most of the province, virtually all the province, is unceded First Nations lands. And we also support viable economic alternatives that are sustainable for forestry workers in this province. Because if we don't have solutions that work for forestry workers, and in general, when we work to make environmental progress, if we don't have solutions that work for the majority of the working people, then you end up getting a major backlash, and you eliminate the environmental progress. It'll get rolled back eventually, and you don't have a world that is a very good one, because every time you make environmental progress, you get a whole whack of people who end up having a lot of pain and suffering. And we don't want pain and suffering of the ecosystems, first and foremost, and we don't want pain and suffering of any subset of humanity either. If we can avoid that, let's make a win-win solution. The state, the government, has got to step in and ensure that we have a transition that ensures sustainable second-growth forestry, a ban on raw log exports, and retooling of the old-growth mills to handle second-growth logs. And then we can ensure that, you know, not everyone's happy, but some of the corporations will be, heads of the corporations will be unhappy, but they're going to have to make an adjustment too, or disappear.
Now, you talked about being able to be more hard-hitting with this organization.
Yes.
That you can reward and punish politicians for their stances relative to the old growth forest. What are you thinking there?
Well, basically, a lot of government policies are largely driven by a risk assessment by government, and that's whether or not this issue will threaten their ability to get reelected, essentially to stay in power. And elections, their outcomes are not determined by all of the people of the province, but actually by swing ridings. And those are the ridings where the competition is very close between different parties in this province, between Liberals and NDP, in these different swing ridings. And so it really comes down to maybe, I think it's probably about, you know, a dozen or maybe even half a dozen ridings that really determine the outcome of these elections. And so in those places, in North Burnaby, in Oak Bay, in Courtney Comox, in the Saanich Gulf Islands, where the race is very tight, we're going to be organizing campaigns to educate and mobilize people in those areas and say, this BC Liberal politician has an anti-environmental stance at this point in time. He's saying that the old-growth forests are not endangered on Vancouver Island, and therefore all of the unprotected old-growth can be logged on Vancouver Island or in the Lower Mainland. Don't vote for him. We could not say that before. But if that BC Liberal, and at this point in time, the Greens and the NDP are taking the stance that we need to move towards conserving old growth and moving towards an end to old growth to raw log exports, then you can say, well, you know what, these politicians here have very progressive stances, and you may want to vote for them if you care about old growth forests and forestry jobs. So, but the point is, we will. It's not going to be based on any ideological allegiance to political parties. If the BC Liberals come on board and say, actually move towards a significant step towards ending old-growth logging, legislated timelines, we will also say that that's a good thing, too.
Well, Ken, thanks for joining me this morning, and I'll point people to your website so that they can come on board and support you if that's what they want to do.
Yes, it's ancientforestalliance.org, and any support you can give would be fantastic. At this point in time, we've got $0, so all the members and donors count.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now. I've been speaking with Ken Wu of the new organization, the Ancient Forest Alliance. Their organization will be based in Victoria and has a website at ancientforestalliance.org.